Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. It's time to get your Bible and grab a cup of coffee. We are in the book of John. We're going to do a little oversight here. So get your Bible, grab a cup of coffee. This is Gilbert from Red Bluff, California.
This is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
Hi, this is Dan from Vancouver, Washington.
We're going to back up and go up in the air a little bit and look back to chapter 2 in the book of John. There was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, but they went back to Jerusalem because of the Passover in chapter 2. And then we get to chapter 4. They were heading to Galilee after that Passover feast. They were in Judea, and they were heading for Galilee, and they stopped in Samaria in chapter 4. This is where they met the Samaritan woman and at the well, and we talked about that yesterday. And they're still in Samaria in verses 27 in chapter 4 through 30 and 31 through 37 and 39 through 42. So let's read those three contexts as one. Let's just read those three. They're still in Samaria, and they haven't even gone to Galilee yet.
Starting in verse 27, "And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he was speaking with the woman, yet no one said, What seekest thou, or why speakest thou with her? So the woman left her water pot and went away into the city, and saith to the men, Come, see the man who told me all things that I did. Can this be the Christ?"
Well, let's stop here. And Dan mentioned something about the water pot.
It's the whole context preceding this was all about the woman at the well getting water. And after all the whole conversation, she left Jesus there, and she left her water pot.
The most important thing
she was there for.
To sustain life is water.
And she left her water pot and ran off.
And the reason she did is because she was excited and says, "Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" The water pot became a secondary thing. She was going to go tell people about Jesus.
Now, this is a country, Samaria has been the most messed up country. They've had nothing but wicked kings. There's not been one good king in that, starting with Ahab and Omri. Before him was the most wicked. And then here comes Ahab, the most wicked king ever. And any king in Judea that fell, there's actually one or two kings that were like them. They got that evil.
They
associated with the Samaritans and became like them. So then 31 through 38.
And the last piece of that I didn't read is, they went out of the city and were coming to him. After she told this story, they went out of the city and were coming to him.
Could this be the Christ?
At the well.
He told me everything about my life.
In the meanwhile, his disciples asked him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have meat to eat that you know not." And the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him something to eat?" And Jesus said to them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to accomplish his work. Say you not that there are yet 4 months and then come the harvest? Lo, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, that they are white unto the harvest. Already who reapeth receives reward and gathers fruit unto eternal life, that who sows and who reaps may rejoice together. For herein is the saying true, that the one who sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that whereon you have not labored. Others have labored, and you are entered into their labor.
So now, you know what's interesting? These two scriptures show that something more important than eating and drinking has just showed up. Now, we're talking about eternal life in Christ. So food, we found out that the Samaritan woman was so excited about, is this the Christ? This is more important than drinking. And Jesus had something way more important than eating, was these people's eternal life. It puts everything really in order, doesn't it?
And from that city, many of the Samaritans believed unto him because of the word of the woman who witnessed that. He told me all that I did. When therefore the Samaritans came unto him, they asked him to abide with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. And they said to the woman, now we believe, not because thy speaking, for we have heard for ourselves, and know that this is truly the Savior of the world.
You know, here is a country that was always really wicked. They were against God, and now it's the people occupying the temple, the ministers, the religious people, they're his enemies, and these people are flocking that were totally separated from God. They're changing their mind, and they're coming to him in droves.
The most unlikely people.
Because of what
they are. They're the most unlikely people.
Because of what a woman told them.
And this woman did it.
So here are these women again.
Here they go.
There they are.
There they go.
The ones that saw Jesus and told the 12 apostles.
Oh, wait a minute. How did I get here? A woman. Oh. A woman came and got me.
So everybody always concentrates on the 12 apostles. And here, these women, and it kind of it mentions them off to the side. You don't concentrate on it until you've read the Bible as many times, you know, like over 10, 20, 30 times, and you start realizing that Jesus, you have to listen to everybody, really.
She converted the whole town.
Yeah.
Now we believe, not because of what you said, but because of what we heard. But it opened it up to them to where they could go hear Jesus. She just opened it up to go, okay, we're going to go see what she said. And there it went. That's a serious conversion story there because of the people that you're talking about, Samaritans and all of that. Now, and for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world.
Wow.
That's not been said before.
That is a big statement.
That has not been said before.
That is a huge statement.
Yes.
The Savior of the world. It doesn't make any difference if you're from Judea or an enemy to Judea, Samaria. He is.
Doesn't matter who all them relatives
China,
of yours were for the past
Russia,
200 years.
Our mortal enemy that lives right near us, Cuba.
Yes.
Them too. So we have to be careful today living in this world that Cubans are not our enemy. Who has been the enemy in this whole thing is actually the most unlikely is the religious leaders. Actually, the high priest orchestrates and all of his minions orchestrate Jesus' death in the last three Gospels. And here the enemy of the Jews, of the people of Judea, they recognize Jesus as a Savior of the world, that there's no political boundaries. They're gone.
It's what they said. This is what they said. We have heard for ourselves and know that this is truly the Savior of the world.
Okay, so here's an election year in America. Right now, it's an election year, and everybody's getting all wound up. Isn't this kind of funny that this is coming out right now? Forget the political. Let's go talk to these people that are our political enemies. I wonder if the scriptures are showing us that that time is so close that people are going to start coming to the Lord in droves. They're going to just get so fed up with politics.
They lead you nowhere. They lead if you know him. If you want following big, him, they all run into controversy and arguments. And
if you want a big fight, you're going to find it with there. You're going to find people highly emotional, and they're all wrong to a point.
So this, if you look back a little bit, then our conversation should not be about that.
Amen.
Not be about it.
It should be conciliatory.
Yes, about them.
And draw them into God's kingdom.
Now, she didn't run off everywhere else saying this. She ran right to the people who knew her. And who was she? A woman that had had five husbands, and now the one she had wasn't her husband. That's the one that came with all this wonderful news to tell these people, and yet they go, oh, really? Okay, we'll go see for ourselves. Whoa, she was right.
Well, just like he used Mary Magdalene, out of whom he cast
seven demons.
Go tell the disciples. Go tell the apostles.
Well, he used Mary Magdalene again, and they went and told the apostles after he was raised from dead. They didn't believe her.
Right.
What a bias is that?
You know, in every town that we have been to, there's always been a Lydia. A person that says, if you find me worthy, come into my house, and they go off and tell everybody, and they start drawing people in left and right. We found that in Phoenix and Vancouver here. And
we see these stories repeat themselves with people that we know.
Denver, Colorado, in Albuquerque, New Mexico, every place we have been, there have been these ladies.
So it wasn't a man that got them all to come in there, is what you're saying?
Nope, it's always been a woman.
It's never been a man.
Yep.
And here's the first one.
And it's not really a woman of high integrity that...
It's a woman of low integrity.
In a high place.
Well, not the ones I know, but well, anyway.
What I mean is people would have probably not a good opinion of someone who's been married five times.
Well, this sets the high benchmark.
Yes.
The high-low benchmark.
Yes. Yeah, and now, okay.
Don't look at the character then. Just look what the Lord is doing for her at that time.
She left her water pot and had another something to water with. And it said, what does it say? He that plants and he, lift up your eyes, already he that reaps harvest. He that sows and he that reaps may rejoice together. So she was sowing. She went out as a sower.
And gathering in fruit for eternal life.
That's what she went doing.
You know, more important than doctors, more important than lawyers, more important than surveyors and engineers and
smart people.
Eternal life. Isn't that the most absolute most important thing in the anywhere? The most important thing is our eternal life.
Oh, by the way, what was her name?
Woman at the well.
Samaritan woman at the well. I mean, come on, talk about making it very...
Isn't it going to be interesting that we are going to meet all these people?
Yeah, and then you go, who are you? Oh, I'm the woman at the... I'm the Samaritan woman at the wall. I know exactly who you are. We know exactly who she is.
Can you imagine what it's going to be like?
Who's that lady over there? Oh, that's the woman at the well. I got to meet her.
And if everything that Jesus did were written, the earth could not contain all the volumes of books. And yet, there's so much we could talk to all these people about to see from their angle.
It doesn't say a thing about what Jesus said. It just says, now that we've heard him for ourselves, we believe it.
We have no idea what he said.
No details.
He said all of this to her, and they go, now we know. And they called him the what? The Savior. So whatever he said made them say that.
The Savior of the world.
Honestly, I've never read this like this before.
I never have either.
Neither have I.
Okay. So if I'm acting excitable, it's probably because I'm being excitable. It's for real.
The veil being lifted up and you see things.
Oh, my.
It's wonderful.
And they haven't even gone to Galilee yet. Jesus was going to Galilee. Oh, by the way, I'm going to stop here. But remember,
on the way there.
Now, Dan hadn't done this because he never knew Ray. But how many times did we go out with Ray and there was always something happening like this? this gentleman that we knew years ago, how we'd be running into things like this. Verses 43 through 45, after 2 days, he finally departs for Galilee.
We know he talked to him for a while.
2 days.
He stayed there two days. All that happened.
Now, isn't it interesting? The woman at the well, he was there for what? A small conversation. And then he had to stay in the city for 2 days.
Oh, by the way, I'm gonna tell you everything about yourself. So they go for Galilee, and for Jesus himself had testified that a prophet has no honor in his own hometown. So when he came to Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him, having seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the feast, for they had gone to the feast. So he came again into Cana of Galilee. This is 46 to the end of the chapter 4. So he came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And at Capernaum, his hometown, where he had a house, there was an official whose son was ill. When this man heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went to him and asked him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So Jesus said to him, "Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe." The official said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Jesus said to him, "Go, your son will live." The man believed the word, the image, the logo that Jesus spoke to him and went on his way. As he was going down, his servants met him and told him that his son was recovering. So he asked them the hour when he began to get better, and they said to him, "Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him." The father knew that was the hour that Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." And he himself believed. I don't know why this is getting to me.
Because it is. Wow. Because he just believed. He didn't say, no, come down. He just left. Okay, I believe you.
He believed and all his household. This was now the second sign that Jesus did when he had come from Judea to Galilee.
I've never considered these two stories. Here's a whole bunch of people that came and started following Jesus. Here's a whole bunch of people, a whole household here. And that's within two of those things happened in one chapter, the fourth chapter. This is the first people that, and he left them.
When I left my old life and started this new life, and then Ray would say, "Hey, Gilbert, can you and Carolee come down and help me in Tijuana, Mexico?" And that was like a 20-hour drive. So I was working full-time. We'd drive down there. And I tell you what, it was so busy the whole time we were out talking to people in Tijuana and the different shops and so on. There was not a spare moment. And here's this chubby guy that wasn't, you know, he wasn't a runner, wasn't a distance runner or whatever. And I was used to hard, hard work where we'd run the mountains and so on, and very few people could stay up with us. And I would go there, and that guy would wear me out because his whole life was about other people. And here, it never even talks about them stopping and getting something to drink yet or eating. Didn't we read back in here, back in the 31 and so on, when in the world did they eat? Jesus says, my food is to accomplish God's work, to do his will.
Here it says, Jesus was weary of the journey and sat by the well. And he got to sit by the well about 2 minutes before he started doing what? He's back to
work. There's the woman.
You know what was funny? I was very weary after doing the last show.
Yes.
I wonder why. And all of a sudden, I perked up again. This is really interesting. I mean, I was getting really tired, getting worn out.
And the disciples the whole time, they go, "Okay, we got some food here." And he goes, "My meat is to do the will that him who sent me." Well, who brought you food?
How many times does it show that they actually ate?
No,
there's a few times.
She left the water pot and he's not.
There's something more important. It's called eternal life.
Different kind of food.
Who brought him something to eat?
I don't know. Yes, I haven't seen a meat yet. Have you?
I have meat to eat that you don't know anything about. And they're like, well, what is he talking about?
Okay, now in chapter 5, we're going to get into a feast. Right. Okay? Chapter 5, verse 1. There's a long context for you.
After these things was the feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem.
Okay, it's getting close to communion again, to Passover. Okay, 2 through, let's see.
9.
9 is the next context.
Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, the one called in Hebrew Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a multitude of the sick, blind, halt, withered, and a certain man was there who had been there 38 years in his infirmity. Jesus, seeing this man lying down and knowing that he had been there already a long time, says to him, would thou be made whole? The sick man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steps down before me. Jesus said to him, arise, take up thy bed and walk. And straightway the man became whole and took up his bed and walked.
There was a multitude of sick people, but it doesn't concentrate on all of them. It just does this one. A certain man was there.
38 years.
Yeah. So you don't see everybody. It just concentrates. So we think that Jesus said everybody be healed right there. But in this instance, there was many, but it only talks about this one. That makes you think, doesn't it?
It does.
It's not like we have a picture that Jesus would go there, all of a sudden everybody would just be being healed. There's something about the scripture, it's truth. It doesn't go beyond, it tells exactly what is happening. So it's up to you to get that picture in your mind and not make up your own scenario there. So not everybody was healed, one person. So what does that tell you?
Well, this guy had been seeking this healing for 38 years. And other people would just jump ahead of him. And Jesus healed the person that had been looking for it the longest. I mean, that's just what it is.
Also, things aren't going to happen the way you think they're going to happen. Be ready for whatever the story tells you.
Is what it is.
Is what it is.
Yes.
So there's a lot of people that weren't healed, right?
Right.
I mean, that's what it's saying. So we can't make it into a scenario
sick,
that it's
blind,
not.
Sick, blind, halt, withered.
Yes.
All of these in this guy.
Okay. Verses 9 through, wow, this is a long one, 30. Verse 30.
Now it was the Sabbath on that day. Said the Jews therefore to the one cured, it is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for thee to take up thy bed. But he answered them, he who made me whole, the same said to me, take up thy bed and walk.
Wait a second.
Here
are the religious leaders. Here are the ministers. Here are your religious leaders and the people that run the churches today. Same people. And here is Jesus not going with what the scenario is with the church leaders. And so now they get in Jesus' face.
Who it is?
You can't do that.
You can't do that.
You can't heal him. Or no, they're talking to the guy who was healed here.
How many people that were mentally ill did Jesus heal? How many people do you see being healed in churches? The mentally ill, the churches send to hospitals. The hospitals give them drugs. Nobody heals them today. And you don't see somebody just laying hands on people and people being healed today in churches. Where is that today?
It's not there.
No.
That's where it is.
But where is it? Is it around?
It's around.
Sure it is. It's here, but it's... And so here are the church people.
It was the Sabbath day. Jesus healed a guy that had had something wrong with him for 38 years. And so he told him to pick up his bed and walk. And they got after him because he picked up his bed and walked. And so he said, He who made me whole, the same said to me, take up thy bed and walk. And they asked him, who is it, man, that said that to thee? Take up and walk.
They didn't go like, wow, check that out. 38 years and now he's walking.
They didn't care about
that. That's amazing.
And they asked him, who is the man that said to thee, take up and walk? But the one healed knew not who it was, for Jesus disappeared, a crowd being in the place. So nobody there knew this happened. So much for up on the stage.
And apparently they knew exactly what happened because they were getting after this guy. They knew more, but
they'd been around.
But they knew nothing.
Yes.
They really knew nothing.
After these, Jesus finds him in the temple and said to him, behold, thou art become whole. Sin no more, lest aught worse befall thee. So he didn't say anything to him when he did it, but he said this to him when he saw him the next time. The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who made him whole. And for this, the Jews persecuted Jesus because he did these things on the Sabbath. But he answered them, my Father worketh even until now, and I work. For this, therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but he also said God was his own Father, making himself equal with God. Jesus therefore answered and said to them, amen, amen, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the things he does, these the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that himself doeth, and greater works than these he will show him, that you may marvel. For just as the Father raises the dead and makes alive, thus the Son maketh alive whom he will. For neither doth the Father judge anyone, but hath given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. Who honors not the Son, honors not the Father that sent him. Amen, amen, I say to you, who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life, and cometh not to judgment, but is passed out of death into life. Amen, amen, I say to you that the hour coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and who hears shall live. For just as the Father hath life in himself, thus gave he to the Son also to have life in himself. And he gave him authority to pass judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour comes in which all they in the tomb shall hear his voice and shall come forth, who have done the good things unto the resurrection of life, and who have practiced the evil unto the resurrection of judgment. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I seek not my will, but the will of him who sent me.
You know, when God says amen, amen, he has some important precepts. And there are, this is the fifth, sixth, and seventh time you hear amen, amen. And until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.